Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
You guys have no idea the stuff I've heard, had to listen to, had to see, had to take part in, had to walk beside these people, have to hug these people, have to listen to them, have to watch them cry, telling me details about my brother and stuff. I would be feeding them because they would be hungry, and I'll do that regardless if they had anything to do with it or not, but I've literally fed people that couldn't feed themselves, watched them cry about wanting to tell me the truth, trying to tell me the truth, and then the week later, they're dead. Within the last month, two people have done that very thing, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm not going to say their names out of respect for that, but I've seen the good trying to come out in them, though. I've watched people take this to their grave. I've had to take on a lot. I don't even know how this robot detective brother or whatever you want to call it son is going through it all, but I guess I am. And I'm somehow being a dad that's not got a tear on his face when a door pops open. Man, I don't even know. I can't lie. A lot of it has to do with the fact that I have somebody else pushing me.
Hello, and welcome to episode 36 of The Vanished. Tonight, we will be discussing the disappearance of 24-year-old Noah Davis. I would like to thank Noah's oldest brother, Josh, for taking the time to speak with me for the show. Noah disappeared in July of 2014, and Josh has spent the last 2 years investigating his disappearance because there has been a lack of interest on the part of law enforcement and the media. This is part one of Noah's story.
Hello, everybody. My name is Joshua Wright. I have a younger brother by the name of Noah Brandon Davis that's been missing for 718 days as of today. And I'm looking out for anybody that I get steal their ear so I can get some assistance on this search. It's been a long ride so far, and I got plenty of time left to continue on. But I'm hoping that you guys are more than willing to pay attention, take note, and just, if nothing else, keep up. I certainly do need the help.
Before we really dig into this story, I wanted to clear something up for everyone who is listening. You will see online that Noah's missing date is incorrectly listed as June 20th, 2014. Noah was actually incarcerated at that time, but law enforcement refuses to change the date even though Josh has made repeated requests to have it changed. Josh explained to me why he believes that Noah actually went missing on July 28, 2014.
The date that he has been missing since, officially, when I say officially, I mean literally the official one, the date that I'm, you know, putting out there for everyone, and not the sheriff's office, is the 28th of July, 2014, and honestly, 9:17 p.m. was his last traceable moment that he was accounted for at all, in totality. He was followed up until that moment, date and time, in a lot of methods, some via Facebook, social media, some via GPS, and other ways via the people that were with him up until a certain point, but that's the confirmed last second that he done anything.
At 9:17 p.m. on July 28th, 2014, Noah sent a message to his uncle that said, After that, he simply vanished. I asked Josh to walk us through the events leading up to Noah's disappearance.
Events began on the 12th. Like, he was released from a facility on July 12th of 2014. My brother had been clean for quite some time. And I say quite some time because it was the way the courts work around here is he did have a drug charge, and it was almost about 10 years ago. And, you know, he was growing up. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. He had a bump in the road, and he really straightened up almost after that. But there's a lot of hurdles they'll put out in front of you here. There's no drug court. There's no nothing but scheduled, required to time to invest in appearances and work, classroom counselor and so forth. Anyhow, he had actually been released from a facility that was like where he went to go and put in public works time type of thing. Is the best way I can give a universal explanation. When he was released from it, which you tell me what kind of sense this makes, he was released from a facility that was for, you know, straightening him up and giving him discipline and stuff like that. But he had a waiting period from being released to go to a rehab facility. They released him on the July 12th date of 2014 with expectations of him reporting to a rehabilitation center on the 18th of July. Now, you tell me what you're going to do if you're an addict in those 5 days or 6 days, right? I don't know what sense that makes to me. I mean, really, think about it. All right, we're aware you're an addict. Go put in some work, and then we'll send you to rehab. Not back-to-back, but you'll be incarcerated pretty much, which means, like, enclosed, detained for these times. But we'll give you a vacation in between the two of them. What sense does that make? I don't know. But I digress. He was released on the 12th of 2014.
After our conversation, I asked Josh to explain this a bit further. I was wondering why Noah was incarcerated for a drug charge from so long ago. He explained to me that Noah had been in and out of the system for minor probation violations. If you know anything about the legal system, you know that this is a very common occurrence. Once you are in the system, it can be very hard to get out.
Upon that release, my brother did nothing but spend time on his physical health, man. He came out the biggest I'd ever seen him. Taller than me, bigger than he ever had been, and honestly, he was a sight to see, a healthy, I say at the time, so 24-year-old, he was 24 at the time, a healthy 24-year-old, above average healthy. I mean, dude was strong, very, very strong, and you'll see in those photographs his missing poster and flyer, the most recent photograph, and the pretty much last one that I'm aware of that was taken of him. I don't really know of any taken past that point. Because he took that, you know, a couple days after being released or whatever. And me and my brother, you know, of course, I picked him up. He surprised called me, and I was actually on my way home from just getting my daughter in my custody the same day. My mother had no idea that this could have occurred. We had no idea for at least 6 more months that Noah could have been released or gotten out. We didn't know. We weren't as updated or as up-to-date as Noah himself, the adult, was now. And they just, you know, released him quicker than I guess we had much more expected. But that phone call took me by surprise, but I was on my way home from actually police escort picking my child up and putting her into my custody for good and final. Legitimately, on our way home, the both of us, we got that call from Noah. Saying, hey, Josh, it's me. I'm here at the jail. Can you come pick me up? And I said, how come this call wasn't collect? And he said, because I'm already released. Can you come pick me up? I said, you've got to be kidding me. And then, of course, it was like an extremely happy memory as I'm recalling it, as I say it, of course. It was a really happy moment because already the obvious, I just finished a two and a half year custody battle and stuff that day. My daughter was finally safe and secured. And then I just knew my mom was going to be on top of the world for that. And then Noah coming home, it was going to flip her out. And of course, I miss my little brother. And so I went, U-turned and went down to the sheriff's department and picked him up. And we popped in here and, you know, surprised everybody. It was a pretty interesting moment there. Noah posed with Kaylee a few times. They played a lot. They were actually, in the few times they got to bond, because Noah was in and out of the system, they were pretty awesomely close. Like, they were very, very close to one another. There's videos still on YouTube right now that I've gotten of him and her just playing on our back porch here when she was learning to talk. I can still pull them up. It's I keep those private. Yeah, it's something else. I've got a pretty good archive of media from my daughter's life in chronological order, like the dork that I am. Yeah, I go through there sometimes, and I'll look back and see how well and how close they had gotten to, because Kaylee hasn't seen him. That's my daughter's name. She has not seen him in quite some time now herself. And one of the last things that's made me cry about this whole ordeal was looking at Noah's account finally a few weeks back when we had finally gained access to it, me and my brother Chase, and seeing the messages that my daughter had been writing him online, that brought me to tears, man. It was something else. She misses him. She really does. But they were very close. Noah had that kind of, if you liked Noah, you two were friends, or definitely if, you know, you were related to Noah. But if you were close with him, dude, it's, I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn or anything, but I like to be that way myself. When I show up, everybody starts to smile if they haven't been. Or if they have been, I make it that much more better. Well, Noah was that turned up a little bit more. But he'll get you smiling immediately. Like, it's not an option. And then when the two of us together, yes, it's just something else. But, man, he would lighten the whole room up when he'd come in there. Of course, you know, 9 hours into hanging out with him, you would start to wonder how you're going to sleep or something, because he would not turn off. But Noah was a trip, man. I miss him. I can't get his laugh out of my head. Daily, all I hear.
Getting back to the timeline now, Josh explained to me why his own personal custody battle is so important to Noah's story.
One of the most impactful loose ends from the custody ordeal that was left over dangling still, apparently, was something that was never supposed to have happened, you know, but it's a stupid issue, to be quite honest with you, because I never done anything wrong, but my driver's license, apparently, by someone's choosing, had gotten suspended. And when I say that, that's literally, without digressing, that's literally what this person had done that had an issue with me during the custody ordeal. He also had gotten fired for being corrupt and dealing with a FBI agent, but no biggie. True story, Tom Evans, Ringgold PD, look it up. Anyhow, my license apparently had gotten suspended, come to find out. The only way that you can find that out is to get pulled over. And in the state of Georgia, when that happens, you can't show your license in lieu of bail. That's what all tickets here say, at least. Did persons show license in lieu of bail? And they put a check mark in there, yes or no. If they say no, that means you didn't have anything in lieu of bail and you went to jail. And so when it's suspended, whether or not you physically have it or not, you can't do it because you don't have a license. So they took me to jail. Keep in mind, and legit, like, this is all public record. You can Google my name and see all these things. This case got completely dismissed because it was never supposed to have gotten or have been suspended ever. But it was. And while in there, in jail, there wasn't going to be a court hearing for this magistrate, the person who releases you or gives you a bond, for apparently almost 5 days. I think it was 5, maybe. I'm not really sure, but yeah, you could imagine my emotional boiling point at being a single parent, having this happen, for one, getting there and getting told that there's no judge for like 4 or 5 days. Yeah, this is all legit, and that they were going to either try and take me to another county's magistrate, or I would have to wait. It was like a holiday or something. I can't remember the exact date either. Long story short, I wound up getting a hold of Noah from inside of this place that they call, you know, unfortunate, and had him able to come and retrieve my vehicle and stuff where it had gotten left. Luckily, they didn't tow it for some reason. I'm not really sure why, but they agreed to leave it where it stood because, oh, I remember, I wasn't driving. That's right. It was parked legally, not obstructing traffic. It was parked in a parking spot, windows up. Doors were even locked because I had the key. So, yeah, driving on a suspended license while parked. But anyhow, I had to make the arrangements really quickly because I didn't want this place where the truck was left to tow my vehicle, because that is another world that I didn't want to know. It's very expensive. And one of my only phone calls, I spent 90% of it on the phone with Kaylee. And the other 10%, because my mom was in a panic kind of state like she can easily get with anxiety. The other 10%, I spent on the phone with my brother, Noah. Noah knew exactly how to talk to me and everything. He was very mellow, trying to calm me down, even though I wasn't panicked. I was more angry, like fist pumped to wall angry. That this was, I was tired of getting messed with so much at this point by these people. Anyhow, he showed up, got a ride down there to retrieve my property. My brother did have a license. He did have that. And so I just actually retrieved this form the other day because I wanted to verify exactly what I had signed over to him. Come to find out, news to me from the other day, even I apparently signed over like the cash I had on me too. Like $81, my cellular phone, the key to my truck, and yeah, that's it. And I really had no idea that I had signed over money to him. That actually blew my mind. Still is as I speak. But I mean, I had no worries about it. I just signed over my vehicle. Anyhow. He went and he got it. He retrieved it. I trusted him. He was sober. He was sober. Now, I knew my brother high. I knew my brother on a puff of high. I knew my brother walking through a room of other people high and him just taking a whiff of it. I knew my brother high. My brother was not high. All my brother had even done since he'd been out was play with Kaylee, stay at home, work out, and take those pictures that you see him posing with his friend there, because they were gym friends, they were workout buddies, and that's all they wanted to stay on each other about was keeping in physical shape, letting that distract them from the rest of the world and their previous group of friends. And that works, by the way. Like, the idle time is, you know, what can pull someone back into the mess. And they were doing quite well at it. Honestly, this guy was a friend of mine, too. His name was Brandon, I'll just say. And anyhow, I trusted my brother, my call to make, I did. So I signed it over to him. My mom had no license, of course. And upon my release, which was just within, a day and a half or so afterwards, was I angry? Yeah, but when you're that angry guy getting out, you're more happy about seeing your child and everything else. But once I'm getting picked up, I'm surprised that it's not my brother picking me up.
Josh walked me through the emotional process that he went through as he learned that Noah was missing, which began with confusion, then anger, then fear.
And so I'm asking, like, okay, why are you, you know, it was my uncle that came and picked me up. Why are you picking me up? Why is my car not picking me up? After about 15 minutes of small talk about other stuff, 15 minutes into this pickup, he's, oh, so where's Noah at? You know, Rick, where's Noah, my brother? Where's the truck? What's going on? Why didn't he come pick me up? Keep in mind, 15 minutes of talking already. Oh, nobody knows where he's been at. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody's seen him driving your truck or in a few days. I'm like, how is that how you break that news? Why have you been having a normal toned conversation as if, you know, I came out of there with college credit just now or something? I get so annoyed at family sometimes, but I didn't get that at all. I don't like getting hit with stuff that hard out of nowhere, and so I'm trying to dwell and focus on that without snapping on my uncle, and I don't snap easily, and I didn't, but I'm getting really immediately upset because what is he talking about? As soon as I get home, walk in the house, I hug my daughter, who ran out first. And I held my daughter for a minute, I ain't going to lie. And then I let her go, and I look, and I go in the house. Curse words are flying everywhere. There's no way out. Why is the truck not in the driveway where we live at? Where's the vehicle at? Number one, because here I am at first, I'm thinking, the hell. This has never happened before. He's never, ever, 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 ever screwed with any of my stuff, taken any of my stuff, broken any of my stuff, tempted, threatened, asked to have any of my things. Not that I'm that materialistic. He just hasn't. He respected my stuff always. So, you know, that's some of the reasons why I trusted him with my property, obviously. So, I'm kind of angry that he hit that nerve with me. Like, he's going to do this. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of like, really, where's my little brother at? I'm going to smack the crap out of him. That's my mindset. All right, Mom, where's he at? What's going on? What the hell you mean you don't know? How come you're acting that way? What the hell are you talking about? And then I'm getting on his, looking online, and I'm saying, what the hell is going on? Why is, you know, his, the workout buddy, Brandon, not able to locate him, I see, pretty quickly. Knowing where you at, bro, several texts, so forth. And then a few others, mainly females, looking for him and stuff. And I'm starting to notice a bunch of stuff that's not cool. So I immediately, as of that moment, began tracking and gathering all, because my mother didn't know a damn thing. My uncle didn't apparently care to know a thing, but he definitely didn't know anything. And so that's what I walked into, was a brand new notebook with nothing written in it, and just like some sort of game or scavenger hunt, go, green light, hit the ground running. The hell would be what I'd call that game. What in the hell? Because that's how it started. Gathering info, putting stuff together, block by block by block. I didn't initially have any intentions ever of calling the police and filing anything, because it's apparently my newly dumbass brother thinking he can get over on me. He for damn sure always knew that he could not ever get it over on me. That's why I was so annoyed that I was having to go and catch him. Like, what the hell? He knows I'll find him. He knows I'll catch him. He knows his friends will immediately turn a finger and point when I say, where's he at? No matter what. No matter what. So I'm quite annoyed at that. I didn't really want to be tested. Anyhow, I let an entire almost 2 solid days pass before I said, after the last conversation with my mom, which I had about 3 total in that 2-day stint, and I gave it 2 days because I just assumed he was going to pull in 3-4 in the morning, or I was going to get a text about it being on the side of the interstate or something like that. But no, I gave it those 2 days, and then once it got to about a normal hour in the afternoon, like 3 p.m. range, the discussion, my mother was very worried about me getting Noah in trouble because he's on probation, and I agreed. I said, well, if I can get back to my vehicle side of it first, then I'll make sure they're not pursuing him for a charge I'm putting on him or anything. But I was going to have to file my vehicle stolen. I just asked her, I said, well, when the sheriff shows up here, predictably so, now I know these people, this office, this administration, this agency, and legally myself, because I've been a public servant, I have been post-certified. I got about 11 year experience with law enforcement, security and investigations and so forth. And that's a professional trade, and I know how to resume that trade. I know how to treat people with respect in that trade also. But I know also about integrity and accountability and how to make sure I have it. Before I made that call, I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, make sure you're not talking. Unfortunately, that's a sad thing to have to mention or ask. She will be the reason why Noah gets a theft charge. All right, I look at my mother and I said, all right, Mom, I'm going to have to do this. She's actually not. She looks at me and talks to me at this moment like I'm supposed to shut up, sit down, and wait. But that's my 1999 Ford F-150 I've had for 10 years, and I love it. And I love it, and it's all me and Kaylee have. So I'm looking at her, and she's mad / worried / sad / aware I have to do it. And so I have to do it. But I asked her to please make sure, unfortunately, that I'm the one talking. If you ask questions, don't say anything. Because I didn't want Mom to make it worse for Noah, because that once she began to speak, and it may sound rude, once she began to speak, it would be out of my hands. I mean, that's how law enforcement works. When they show up to serve a paper and they see, like, blood on faces of two people, married husband and wife, and then they, you know, see the broken stuff on the floor, and then they look up and they see the cut hands, they pretty much will arrest you regardless of you guys admitting to fighting or anything. Whether or not they've seen it, they can just take you based upon their awareness of something occurring. You know, they can make their own decisions and make their own call. It's out of their hands. Like, if you want to call someone about a fight or something like that, and they show up, it's out of your hands at that moment. They still know that a fight happened. You can't say, ah, never mind. They are going and they're working. It's going to happen. And so, anyhow, I digress. I let her know that, and she understood. And it's a tense moment for me because my mom is hard to get to listen. Like, in that sense, she's more worried than I am about my brother's well-being at this moment. She is. If she still isn't, she may very well be. I can't lie. I don't know that answer. But anyhow, the guy shows up. I feel like I can't remember much about this officer's persona, which is a good thing. I do remember that I didn't like what he had to say about my vehicle. But he did call it in. I did file a missing person report on my brother. And then I did file a stolen vehicle. Both separately, I guess, but at the same time. When he asked if my brother stole the vehicle, my answer was no, I don't know, because I didn't. You see what I'm saying? I really didn't. I didn't have confirmation that, you know, he took it from our driveway after I'd signed it over to him. For all I know, he could have parked it and the neighbor took it. So without that, I'm using that as my, you know, grounds for not lying to the police here. And also keeping him from pursuing my brother criminally. For the time being, I really was. Anyhow, I'm filing the two things at the same time separately, but clearly, officer, they seem like, in a strange way, they may have something to do with one another. My brother's nowhere to be found. It's unlike him. He goes out to his car. It began to rain. I remember it started to rain a little bit. And so he sat in his car instead of on the porch. We invited him in. He needed to be out there to make some cell phone calls because he was going to call in what's called a BOLO, a B-O-L-O, Be On The Lookout. Is a like a 4 or 5 county wide page at one time by our dispatch here that touches the Walker, Catoosa, Chattooga, and Dade, even Hamilton counties. Hamilton's even in Tennessee. We ride on their network. Anyhow, it's a trunking system, but we all keep the same radios. And so when they do a BOLO, which again is Be On The Lookout, when they announce one, they do a like a loud fire call type sounding, catches every law enforcement officer's attention. All right, everyone, be on the lookout for a blank, 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 blank. And they said 1999 Ford F-150, white in color, you know, four-door, so forth. Has been stolen, possibly with, you know, the description of my brother. And, you know, if any information, contact, you know, the Catoosa County Sheriff's Department. And within about 35 minutes, he walks back in the house, never leaving, saying, all right, I found your truck. I was like, what the hell, what? What in the hell you mean you found my truck? And he goes, yeah, isn't that some good news? I said, where the hell's my brother? I found your truck. I figured you'd be at. I'm like, where's that?
Remember that at the time, Noah was living with Josh in Ringgold, Georgia, but Josh's truck was found at an America's Best Inn in East Ridge, Tennessee.
At that moment, I was a little shook. How in the hell, you know, someone's found the truck and not found him at the same time? That was the only little shtick I had going that wasn't completely forthcoming and truthful at the moment, or at that time, you know, because I knew that Noah had my vehicle, but I didn't say that, you know, those words. But at that moment, after they found my truck, and he's not found, I'm talking out loud because I just got punched in the gut. I'm like, whoa, where's Noah at? What do you mean you found, where's he at, though? And he couldn't tell me, no, nobody was found there, and the vehicle had all the windows down. It was left unsecured. and it was parked crooked in the middle of two spots at a hotel here 15 minutes away, but across state lines in Eastridge, Tennessee. And for the sake of removing curse words and cuss words from this storytelling thing I'm doing here, WTF a lot. And then I called my uncle, the only other person with a vehicle that could drive around at the time, come up here, take me to this hotel ASAP, whatever. I said, are there going to be police there waiting on me to arrive or what? He said, no, the vehicle's left unsecured. Meaning that anybody and everybody could go in it, go through it, or may have already. You know, there isn't any chain of custody on the property possible because, you know, who's to say who's had it, who did it, who parked it there, and so forth. Anyhow, he said also that he was going to, at my choosing, remove the stolen vehicle report that I'd filed and kind of delete it at that point because I wasn't pressing any further issue on it as I'd found it. I asked him if he could leave it open in case something had happened to it, like wrecked, crashed, left and abandoned or something, if I could follow back up. He said I would have to do that with the East Ridge, which I even knew that answer before I asked it. I'm still in shock. So I'm trying to wrestle all these legal terms and things like that into a way that I can make sure and resume later if necessary. But I catch my little lift up to the hotel. And sure enough, like, this hotel is not 5-star by any means, probably -3, honestly. And showing up there, all the windows were down. It was kind of dusk or sunset-like. I'm trying to recall what time of day, but I couldn't tell you. It was just, that was the sky. You know, then again, I said it was raining, so who knows. We pull up, bunch of folks walking around. But as soon as I touched my truck, I look in the back and the bed of it, and some of the valuables were still in there. By that, I mean like a jack, huge hydraulic jack, my toolbox and stuff. Battery jumper cables, like a pretty good set, brand new. We're just sitting in the back of the truck, which is indicators. Normally, hands-on, if they can snatch something, they'll snatch something in a bad part of town like that. Usually, jumper cables will get snatched, or tie-downs and so forth will get snatched, because those are pretty hard to come by, rare, and actually kind of expensive things, especially when you need them. They'll always be the first thing to come up missing, but no, there they are. I'm looking at them. It's kind of weird. As soon as I touch it, though, the bed of my truck, I hear about three folks from the upper tier in that hotel go, ah, it's yours, huh? I'm like, I just look up at them, pardon? You know, what are y'all talking about? That thing's been here about a day or so. I was like, has it? It's like, yeah, okay. What's going on with it? Do you know what happened? Why is that? And then why have you guys seen it here and not said anything for a couple day or so, whatever it was you said? Well, what are you talking about? Did you let the people here know? Did you call the police? Did you guys have any, you know, good bones in your body? Seeing stuff suspicious, you know what I'm saying? Like, these people just wanted to tell me about how it sat there for a few days, like it was waiting on an expiration date on a carton of milk. On that note, they said, no, we didn't say anything. Well, one of them says, I told the janitor lady when I was doing the in-service, something like that. I'm like, good grief almighty, and I do my best Stone Cold Steve Austin walk into their office, the hotel, and I'm like, hey, how y'all doing? And they say, oh, that's your truck up there. I said, yeah, it is. I don't look too happy, do I? Uh-uh. I said, oh, it's been there for a couple of days or so. I said, you got any cameras? I said, yeah, we have cameras. So, do you have any kind of way of pulling up what's happened when it got parked there? Maybe, possibly. It's very suspicious. Probably criminal, if not already criminal, act that parked it there. It's going to be pretty important. Does that camera go back? No, it just shows me here as I stand in the office. It just showed him live. And I said, dude, don't play with me. I'm not playing around right now. Is there anything recording it at all whatsoever? I even had the cop go in there and verify all this, but this guy just had cameras on that didn't record, just cameras. So he could stand there at his register and stuff and see what's going on outside, but never again, not if anything happened. Could he pull anything up? Well, that was a bummer. Go back and go through the vehicle. My laptop's still inside of it. My phone isn't. Bottle of medication was not mine, was inside. spilled even. Some of the stuff had gotten rained on. I said it was raining. I remember as I'm going through, I'm closing my eyes and pulling the details up, scrummaging through. There's items of sentiment in there, gifts from my mama and papa were inside. I remember moving everything around, shuffling stuff, clothes, trying to get some sort of a truck image back to my truck going. And then I get and I sit in my driver's seat and I'm looking. I'm like, where the hell are the keys? I never found the key ever. Still haven't to this day. I had to call a locksmith for that. The keys were never recovered. The manager person came back out and said that apparently this person had left it because of the fact they said it was an inoperable condition. And he did have broken English, but his inoperable condition was the term he said. I said, did it seem believable or anything, brother? Did he look like this guy? Showed him a picture of my brother. And he said, no, it looked like, I don't know, some random description, but he said that didn't look like the gentleman who had left it. And as I got this key made, that's when he had walked back out there. And as soon as I did, the battery was dead. That was the entirety of the inoperable state. I hooked up two jumper cables. Remember where they were? In the bed of the truck. Cranked it right up immediately. And so I was looking, I was like, it wasn't inoperable at all, man. How's that excuse how they parked this damn thing? That doesn't make any sense. And how come y'all don't pay attention for stuff like that? When a guy comes in and parks across three parking spots, gets out the vehicle, says, can I get a room real quick? And I'm fine. That truck sucks. It has nothing to do with the operator. Don't mind me. Please don't let anybody know you see me. And they go into a room and they leave a room. I don't know. This guy had no accountability at his business whatsoever. I'm telling you. Got the vehicle and got it out of there. And apparently that's you know, the gist of that story. But there were really no more clues that came from the vehicle itself either, other than it had clearly had the battery pulled off and on a lot.
I asked Josh to clarify for me about the medication that was found in the vehicle. I wondered if it could have been somebody's prescription that would have their name on it, or if it was just medicine that you would pick up at the store. But he told me it appeared to be related to illegal drug activity. I also wanted to know if his truck was ever processed as a crime scene.
No, and I guess because of the fact only that the Eastridge Police Department located the vehicle after hearing the bolo. But they, you know, phone called Catoosa, a different state, but again, 10 minutes away. Hey, we got it up here, man, pretty much. And then that's when he walked back in the house and said, hey, I found your vehicle. So once he let me know that he was going to have to drop that, unless I was going to pursue someone stealing it at that point, you see what I'm saying? The property being recovered, I would have to say that someone stole it at that point to do anything further. So on that note, no.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs. And then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
Josh told me about his mother's failing health and why that drives him to find out what happened to Noah.
My mom has emphysema. She's in the last stages of her emphysema. She's got 18% of her last lung left. And she was given about 5 years to live, I think, eight and a half years ago. 5 years to live. 5 years to live. And she was given that diagnosis after I had cleaned her up. Her entire life, even raising us, her entire life, she had been addicted to drugs herself. And those drugs, inhaling those drugs, hurt her lungs, you know. But I remember getting her clean was some of the happiest, most awesome moments that I'd ever went through and experienced with my mom. And she's been clean to this day. And she was clean as of that time, too, when I was around 14, and I'm 33, so that's pretty awesome. And I felt like that was a pretty big deal. And I'm still proud of my mom for that. But anyhow, that's what caused her to get her medical diagnosis, because, of course, she wasn't going and getting physicals and so on, of emphysema. That being disabled physically, spinal issues, and her severe anxiety from having the nerves being shot from the drug use. And so forth, in combination with the deterioration of her lungs and her life and her friend change that comes with a clean and sobriety, you know, the sober wall. You the people you thought you knew, you don't anymore. You're done with them. You write them off. You close the chapter. You move on. And she did. And she done it well, to be honest. She's been very strong from that moment on, and almost inspiring on how strong she's been. And it's, I'm telling you, but me and Noah both, Noah was very young at that time when that happened, but Noah remembers me and Noah both. Noah is my half brother. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we have a different last name. Noah's dad has not ever, if not ever, really been ever a part of his life. And I've kind of been in that role, really. And myself, and he had a godmother that would pop in and, you know, help with him a lot and stuff, but I was the male role in his life. But I remember specifically my brother Noah always noticing, always knowing, always seeing that and rolling with her on it as a damn near toddler. He was on team mom as soon as we seen her sober. And from that moment on, they never really broke contact. Even when he was in his bad moments in jail, not 3 days would pass without a letter coming in the mail. Letter coming in the mail, him getting some sort of way of getting some sort of hustle inside the jail of getting a three-way phone call in to talk to my mama. And I'm talking, he was good at that too, because he would be calling my mom left and right. And he would. Wouldn't even talk to me. Her. We've all been worried because she's went way past the finish line. It's hard to see any change with her. It's just inconsistent health now. And so we've all stayed in touch with her.
Josh shared a video message for their mother from Noah.
Mom, I love you. I see you saying bitch gone. I think, yeah, love you. Something you saying, I'll be home soon, okay?
Every birthday when it passes, every birthday it passes, we always treat it like it's going to be the last one we see her and stuff. So, I don't know, we think pretty highly of her. And I think, honestly, if you got loved ones yourselves, man, on it, what could be wrong with looking at every sentimental moment or taking every moment that you can with them as a family with that much extra, a little bit of sentiment? Because you don't ever really know. I always make it a point, if you're leaving for a little while, for whatever it is you're doing, all right, even if you're mad, all right, okay, all right, appreciate it, no problems. Calm down, I love you. And if they don't say, I love you, I'll repeat it like a monotone, redundant machine, even. I love you. Till I got it back. I love you, man. Go. That's how we've always kind of been. We would always get that. And my mom's still that way to this day, except she says I love you with all my heart. That's her thing. But, yeah, that's insight into our little family stuff there that I've never really talked about before. It's kind of how close we were, the four of us, you know. And we were. But we've all known that mom doesn't have long, and surprisingly, she's still here. Mainly driven, she's been driven the most by helping me get Kaylee secured, because that meant just as much to her. And now, for the obvious, I mean, how could you blame her? Like, how could you not blame anybody for holding on to find this out? I can't imagine. I really can't imagine. And so that's been a little bit that much more to the drive that I've gotten. It has been because of the fact I'm really wanting to get this for my mom. Closure for my mom. No matter what's going on, no matter what I got to absorb, I'll absorb it afterwards. And I still feel like that's exactly where my head is right now in this ordeal. Is IDGAF. I got to get the closure for my mom. And I've gotten, fast forward really quick to the state that I'm in right now. You guys have no idea of the stuff I've heard, had to listen to, had to see, had to take part in, had to walk beside these people, have to hug these people, have to listen to them, have to watch them cry, telling me details about my brother and stuff. I've actually seen people do that. I would be feeding them because they would be hungry, and I'll do that regardless if they had anything to do with it or not, but I've literally fed people that couldn't feed themselves, watched them cry about wanting to tell me the truth, trying to tell me the truth, and then the week later, they're dead. And literally, this has happened within the last month, two people have done that very thing, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm not going to say their names out of respect for that, but I seen the good trying to come out in them, though. I've watched people take this to their grave, and I was gave them every opportunity to help, or, you know, I've had to take on a lot. I don't even know how this robot detective brother or whatever you want to call it son is going through it all, but I guess I am, and I'm somehow being a dad that's not got a tear on his face when a door pops open. Man, I don't even know. I can't lie. A lot of it has to do with the fact that I have somebody else pushing me.
Since I met Josh, like so many other people that I've met through the show, we have become friends. Josh is one of the funniest people that I've ever met. It amazes me how he is able to do all the things that he does, from being a single father to investigating Noah's disappearance, while maintaining his sense of humor and not having a complete emotional breakdown.
I unfortunately am pretty consistent at being consistently good at withdrawing my emotions at this time and for now. But trust me, it's going to hit me.
Josh has run into a lot of issues while trying to get help from local law enforcement. We will go into this aspect in depth in part two, but he described a local culture of corruption that he has personally witnessed.
Dude, there are tons of good police here, by the way. I want to make sure I point out there are tons. I have friends in different various agencies, including even the Catoosa County Sheriff's Department. I really do. Actually, all my friends in the Catoosa Sheriff's Department have now went to the city municipality police departments because they've left. They don't like the current regime at all whatsoever, for the reasons that I don't. For the most part, that's literally why. But anyhow, I digress. Yeah, there are good police here. There really are. I'm not anti-police. As I've said, I got my feelings hurt because of the fact I wore a badge. That's what I didn't get. That's what I didn't understand. And I didn't carry over any of the hurt from the custody thing. But as I've said, there's no worse feeling that when you think of law enforcement like brothers. But then when you get out and you're trying to, you know, just claim your child and stuff, and you watch illegalities begin and things of that nature, it'll start tearing you up, man. And then you start studying it on your own because you can't find help. And you look, and stateintegrity.gov says that the state in Georgia is the most corrupt state in the entire country for that year. And I'm getting very highly depressed on that. And I'm studying as I do. I sometimes overstudy. And I see, and I look. I don't know if some of you have ever heard of the Tonya Craft trial. Tonya Craft was a, she's also someone I look up to now to this day. She was getting accused at that very moment in time also in Catoosa County here, which made the Today Show and all kinds of nationwide news, of 22 counts of child molestation as a kindergarten teacher here locally. And she had only gotten accused, and all charges were acquitted because of study the case. I'm not going to stop and cross my arms and tap my feet while you guys go do that. Anybody's ever heard of it, or if you're familiar with it, you're aware. And then if you go and look into it for, you know, a little bit after this, you'll see everything that was done in that investigation and everything just twists into the what in the world are they doing at this sheriff's department. And I've made some of the best friends that I've made in this entire adventure, crusade, calamity, whatever you want to look at it as, have been her. After I got over the annoyance of never being able to get to an attorney because they were all stargazing at her trial, and her private investigator's named Eric Eccles. He's a friend of mine to this day. He's even helped me out some with this. I helped him get the word out and put together a book on Amazon called The Eccles Files, Catoosa County Justice, forgive me. Yeah, it actually was a bestseller on Amazon and still sells quite well to this day. Honestly, because he had just came up here and served papers, and they arrested him for no reason. And as he's getting arrested, he lets them know that this serving of this paper was recorded entirely. And he was even beaten and called racial slurs the entire time, and they arrested him for witness tampering on two people just because he said someone else's name in the middle of it all, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. Very good man of integrity, though. He had that same moment that I went through kind of happened to him. He's a Marine, huge, 7 foot tall. They released him only on the terms he wouldn't even come back to the Catoosa County. That was what the magistrate released him on. You have to say that you won't ever come back to Catoosa County. That's how Dukes of Hazzard could you sound. It's a very big deal when he himself comes up here because he lives in Marietta. He has his own private investigation firm. He does very well for himself. He's a good man. And he's been someone I looked up to and now I have become friends with, but we stay in touch, right? Well, when he comes up here, which I still have plans on, you know, working with him on a few things here, but when someone sees that he's up here, what did I say? What I say was the condition of his release. Yeah, well, those charges got quashed, not squashed, quashed. That's a legal term, meaning, what are we going to do? Well, they just let it go and they wanted to wash their hands of it and act like they weren't even the ones that said that part and they spin around and act like it never happened. Yeah, that's what that term means pretty much, but they were quashed. If I'm not mistaken, he's had a lawsuit on him too, but crazy ordeal. Look it up. Look it up. But he stayed in touch and he's going to come up here a few more times on it for me because I like to have someone else do certain things at times. And he's a good resource. He's went through a lot of the problems I've had to deal with. And he went back home and got the safety and can remote, you know, be a shoulder to, you know, kind of lean on even in times of struggle and stress and in the law field and law enforcement. It can humble you beyond humble. Like, you could feel like the most worthless piece of anything that's ever even been burned on this planet. He was there in some of those times for me. And to wrap this up about him, though, like, I've even helped him with the Anthony Hill case. Maybe you guys heard that, or even I helped him with that. That's, me and him have kept a relationship of helping others together. Still, like, Anthony Hill was got the naked veteran that was shot and murdered by a cop just rolling up on the scene, seeing a naked black male. They just showed up and shot the man instantly on sight, no criminal record, nothing. The veteran killed him instantly, and that cop is now in jail for murder because, like, we put I got the flyers together, we put the word out, and we kept people motivated. I've been friends with their family, even, you wouldn't even believe, but we made a difference and we got that going. And they actually followed through and stayed aware and got the word, kept it up in their faces, and that cop got held accountable. That's all I've ever been about, as has he. Accountability. We want accountability. One of my first media mentions here was when I wrote in a letter to the editor, it was the only way that anybody would say anything, about can we please get more accountability? Pretty much, and a very well-written one, too. And I remember it being even controversial because it was supposed to get published. It got rescinded from being published, but left online. They left it online, but the editor got a phone call or two, apparently, about printing it. So the letter to the editor on more accountability could not be... I mean, anybody else see the irony there? Anyhow, this area lacks that still, unfortunately. And I want it returned. I'm not somebody that abandons my hometown, but I will if I need to. But it definitely isn't here, y'all. It definitely isn't. Just look it up. Look it up. Okay? This the police department has had some issues and some controversy. But, I mean, as have people. We're not perfect, but we've not gotten the change here yet. I know that. They've definitely, man, I don't even know if I want to get started on this topic just yet, but they have hindered absolutely everything.
That brings us to the end of part one of Noah's story. In part two, Josh and I will be discussing his interactions with law enforcement and also his own search for Noah. Believe me, he has gone to great lengths to find him. At the very end of this episode, I will be playing a clip of a meeting that Josh had with law enforcement. They appear to be more concerned about him writing on Facebook about his dissatisfaction with their efforts to find Noah than they are about actually finding Noah. Again, I would like to thank Josh for speaking with me and all of you for listening. If you would like to contact me, I am on Twitter at TheVanishPod. I have a Facebook page and a closed group. If you have any trouble finding the group, send me a message and I will send you a link. The closed group gives us a place to chat without all of your friends and family seeing your comments. If you have a missing loved one and would like to have them featured on the show, please email me at thevanishpodcast@gmail.com. I have a call-in line. You can call me at any time and leave a message at 814-826-4749. If you like this show, there are several things that you can do to help me keep making it better. First, subscribe on iTunes or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Give The Vanished a positive review and share the show with your friends. Also, I would love to know a little bit more about you, so please complete a quick survey at wondery.com/survey. I promise you, it takes less than 3 minutes of your time. Again, that is wondery.com/survey. If you would like to contribute to the show to help me defray some of the production expenses, please visit patreon.com/thevanishpodcast. There is also a PayPal button on the website. I would like to thank everyone who has already contributed to the show. I truly appreciate it. Look for part two in a couple of days.
What's going on?
Well, that poster that I put on Facebook that you made all the smart aleck comments about.
Is that relevant, man? I'm pissed off. Yeah,
well,
so what about it?
I don't care.
Okay, I can tell. This out of my face.
You don't want to cooperate?
Dude, I'm trying to cooperate.
Calm down, please.
I've been leaving messages for 3 days.
Not with me. You can't touch me once. Okay. Calm down.
Okay.
It's my brother.
I am calm.
Wasn't even necessary. Yes, I'm fucking pissed. I'm the big brother. He's my brother. I'm pissed off. 2 years.
You asked what I was doing with the stuff and how it was relevant.
I've not talked to you any. You've not reached out and said shit to me.
No,
I'll fucking get mad if I want to. It's my brother, not yours.
Josh, Mom trusts you.
Don't say another smart-ass comment.
Yes.
I don't have to shoot. Don't say another smart-ass comment.
Your computer back?
No.
Okay. Does anybody have access to your Facebook page with you?
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.